You are listening to the First Baptist Church of America's podcast. If you have any questions about our church, please check us out online at fbcamericas.org. This week, Brother Keith continues our journey through John's Gospel with Getting to the Heart of the Matter, Part 2, from John 4, 27 through 42.
We're running a little bit late, so I'm going to skip the introduction. If you were here last week, just remember all of that. And then we'll move on to this week. This is actually part two of getting to the heart of the matter. Last week I called it getting to the heart of the matter, which was Jesus filling a spiritual need when the woman came to the well for a physical need. Well, getting to the heart of the matter part two is talking about the result of Jesus changing that woman's heart and what happens when He changes our heart. It's about going deeper. There's always another step. I've talked about that before. Jesus took this woman at the well deeper by exposing and meeting a spiritual need. Like I said, she came for a physical need, but He met a spiritual need. And so when we get to the heart of the matter of being a Christian, we have a new perspective on life. We have a new perspective about Jesus. We see Him in a different way. We have, secondly, a new perspective on self. We see ourselves as we are, and then we have a new perspective on other people. So let's get right there to the text. It starts with the disciples coming back. They had gone to get some food while Jesus was resting. And while they were gone, He was in this conversation with the Samaritan woman. Now, when they came back, they saw Jesus talking with a woman at the well. Notice it doesn't say talking to the woman, but a woman. Because the fact that He was speaking to any woman would be unusual. But no one said anything. They didn't ask the woman what she wanted, and they didn't ask Jesus why He was talking with her, because they had learned that whatever Jesus did was right, and there was a purpose in what He did. And there's a quick lesson for us to learn in this. The disciples held their tongue. What is a quick lesson for us? Sometimes you need to hold your tongue. That's just a simple lesson, application of biblical text. The disciples didn't say a word. Sometimes you and I, we don't need to say a word either. Sometimes we need to speak up, but sometimes we need to be quiet. And it takes wisdom and discernment to know the difference. Well, Jesus met the woman where she was, and He changed her life forever. She went back to her town, which would have been a small village, a small town, and she invited the people to come to see a man who might be the Messiah. Many of the Samaritans believed, and they made their way to Jesus to see for themselves. They believed because of the woman's testimony, but they came to Jesus to see for themselves. Now, this is significant because in that culture, the testimony of a woman amounted to nothing. There was a rabbinic law and saying that said, better the words of the law be burned than to be delivered to a woman. How would that make you feel, ladies? Well, obviously, Jesus didn't agree with that sentiment, and He would change many people through the testimony of this woman. And even when her testimony was further weakened by her reputation of a questionable lifestyle. But many Samaritans believed, and they kept believing because they found out for themselves that what she had told them was true. They met Jesus for themselves. Now also, don't miss the significance of verse 40. The Samaritans, after they had heard the lady, they had confirmed their faith and they believed, they asked and urged Jesus to stay with them, and He did. Now, many of the Samaritans accepted Jesus when most of the Jews, His own people, didn't. And the Samaritans wanted Him to stay with them. And a lesson for us right there too, another quick lesson, is that Jesus tarries where He is wanted. Do you want Jesus in your life? If you do, He will be there. Do you want Him in this church? If you do, he will be here. He tarries where he is wanted. And we need to remember that. Well, here are the 3 points. When Jesus changes your heart, you have a new perspective. First of all, a new perspective on Jesus. You see for yourself that Jesus Christ is all that God's Word says He is. That in Christ is all of God's power and authority. You see for yourself that He is supreme Lord over all. And the truth of John 3:35, among many other scriptures, becomes a constant reminder that Jesus is worthy of our trust. And we can say the Father loves the Son and has placed everything in His hands, and we know that. And we live our life based on that knowledge that in Christ is everything that God has given Him. And so you and I, we can no longer think of Jesus as one who prevents us from enjoying life. No, He becomes the one instead who gives meaning and purpose to life. It's all the difference in the world in how you see Jesus. He's not a killjoy, but He is a bringer of joy. And it impacts your life. I said last week that everything ultimately comes back to Jesus. And we see that in this conversation with the Samaritan woman, as He is revealing Himself to be the Messiah. If you remember last week, I said that the Samaritans only accepted the first 5 books of the Old Testament. So they had a limited knowledge and a limited view of the Messiah, but unlike the Jews who anticipated a military Messiah who would free them from Rome's occupation and would reestablish their kingdom, the Samaritans anticipated a Messiah who would be a prophet, who would come and restore worship. And so maybe, if for no other reason, Jesus was so direct in His revelation of who He was with this woman, in that she was expecting somebody to restore worship. And she got it. She saw Him. She saw Jesus as God's Messiah. And when she did, she wanted other people to see Him the same way. And what was her invitation to the people in the town in verse 29? She said, "Come, see a man." And see, she is pointing to Jesus. And that's what we should be doing as a church. Not here in these walls exclusively, but out there. We should be pointing to Jesus. Come, see a man. See, in every other religion, there are founders and leaders saying, "This is the way to God. Follow me," or "follow this, do that. This is the way to God." But in Christianity, it's totally different. In Christianity, it's Jesus saying, "I am God, come to you." It's all the difference in the world. "I am God, come to you." The truth is that we can't find God. He finds us. And He does that through Jesus. A Christian has a proper perspective of who Jesus Christ is and what He has done. He is the unique God-man who is the breath and life to us. And that we know without Him we are like fish out of water. And we'd just as soon not live another day than to live a day without Christ. We have a proper perspective of Jesus. Well, secondly, you have a new perspective of self. There are many people, maybe in this room too, you decide, who live in denial of who or what they really are. A sinner saved by grace. We're sinners. And unless God did something for us through Jesus, then we are without hope, but we are sinners saved by grace. But as a Christian, you're free to admit your sinfulness. There's a freedom, and you can admit your sinfulness. There's a freedom to live transparently in front of the people that you know without trying to appear better than you really are. You don't have to do that. Notice in verse 29, the Samaritan woman, the second part, she said, "Come see a man," but the second part of that is what? "Who told me everything I did." Now here's this woman who lived going from one relationship to another. And she seems to be excited that Jesus saw everything about her life. Comes a man who told me everything I did. It's almost as if she was finally free of the weight of sin in her life. She's free of that because Jesus has taken it. And her testimony then was basically, Jesus saw me at my worst and He still loved me. He sees me as I am and He still loves me. Notice that she didn't have to clean her life up first and then come to Jesus. Jesus met her where she was. And then He'll do the rest of the work. See, Jesus not only sees our sin, but at the same time, He sees our potential of what's in us because of His nature being in us. He sees beyond our sin to what we can be if we only trust Him to deal with our sin and be Lord of our life. He sees that. I said earlier that other religions say this is the way to God. And if you follow that kind of religion, then the effort to reach God is your responsibility. It's all on you. But that's not true in Christianity. 100% of the effort to reach God is on Jesus Christ. And a Christian knows that he or she has nothing to offer to reach God except faith. That's all we can offer is our faith, that what Jesus did is acceptable. And therefore, there's no need to put up false fronts and act all pious and righteous because there are none who are righteous. So there's no need to live that kind of life. And we can proclaim, like the Samaritan woman, Jesus knows what I am. He knows who I am, and He still loves me. He loves me as I am. I don't know if you know it or not, but there is a great freedom in seeing yourself and admitting what you really are. That's freeing. And when we have the proper perspective of Jesus, when we have the proper perspective of us, of ourselves, then, and I think only then, will we see other people the way God wants us to see them. People who are loved by God. And that's the third point. We have a new perspective on other people. Last week we saw that only Jesus can quench the spiritual thirst that is inside of every person. When He was talking about the living water, the water that touches things and it comes to life, and that's what we become. We become living water to other people. And as followers of Jesus, the heart of the matter then becomes living out our faith in a public way. Is living it out so that people see. Now, some might say that my Christian faith is private. But I think Christian faith has to be both public and private. Jesus, He taught that we shouldn't practice righteousness in front of people to be seen. And He also taught to go and pray in your closet. But when He was teaching those things, He was teaching against the motives of the Pharisees who flaunted their religion. And so He taught against that. But He's not teaching against public faith. But everyone whose heart has been changed by Jesus has a faith that starts on the inside and works itself out. It starts in here and works itself out. So the internal or the hidden becomes external and what is seen. That's why Jesus would also teach, let your light so shine before men that they might see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. See, it's a public faith. See, when you have the proper perspective of Jesus, you want others to see Him too. And when you have a proper perspective of self, there's no longer any basis for boasting about self because you have nothing to boast about. We only boast of Christ in us. And so the natural next step is the people around you, whether they're family, whether they're friends, whether they're strangers, whoever God has put in your path, those are your neighbors, the people around you. And that's what verses 31 and 38 are all about. A public faith for the purpose of pointing other people to Jesus so that they too might be saved. That's why you and I are still here. as Christians, that we might point other people to Jesus so that they too might be saved. These verses, 31 through 38, are like a parenthesis here in the middle of this passage about the Samaritan woman. Jesus is talking to his disciples and he's using that imagery again. And he's talking about what is happening to the Samaritan woman, people coming to faith. He's using that metaphorical language to explain that saving souls is so important to him. It's like eating food to get nourishment physically. That's how important it is to him. And maybe as he was explaining that or teaching that to the disciples, the people from Sychar were coming across the field after hearing the Samaritan woman say, "Come see a man." And maybe at that point they were coming across the fields. In verse 35, Jesus said, "Open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest." He's talking about people that are in our path. I'm afraid that our faith, my faith, has become so private that there are people all around us who don't know where to look for Jesus. Notice the Samaritan woman. She simply went to the people that she knew. She went back to her village. She went to her town. She didn't go back and start preaching. She didn't go back and start a Bible study. She forgot about herself. And she just started talking about Jesus in a sincere way. And she was transparent about Jesus and about herself. So somehow, if we could just get our eyes off of ourselves and onto Jesus, we'll begin to see other people in a way that would allow us to represent the presence of Christ in their lives. I read an article this week of a pastor and author who was reflecting on his time as a chaplain in a city hospital. He felt unprepared He was 26 at the time. But he said his mentor had trained him and taught him that when he went into a hospital room, when he placed his hand on the doorknob, that he would remind himself that when you go into that room, you are representing the presence of Christ. So he went into this man's room. His name was Bill. Bill was in his mid-50s. Here's a young chaplain, uncertain about why he was there and being in that room. Bill's in his mid-50s. And he had read his chart before he went in and noticed that he was bruised and beaten up, had multiple arm and shoulder and facial fractures. His jaws were wired shut because of a terrible fall that he had experienced. And so he went into the room and introduced himself. And the young chaplain said, "I understand that you had a bad accident, a terrible fall." And Bill said, "I don't remember. I was drunk." And Bill said, "Are you here to talk about God?" And the young chaplain said, "Well, yes, unless you would rather talk about something else." And so Bill said, "I used to talk about God." And he noticed tears coming down his face. He couldn't move much, but the tears were flowing. He said, "I used to talk about God to people." He said, "I'm a pastor." And the young chaplain tried to hide his surprise that here's a pastor broken up because he was drunk. Turns out that Bill was an alcoholic, and his life of bad choices was catching up with him. So he was immobilized in a hospital bed. And so for the next hour, he poured out his life and his soul to this young chaplain. And he had lost everything. He had lost his church. He had lost his family, his children. They didn't want anything to do with him anymore. He had lost his marriage. He lost his friends. He lost his dignity. He was just lying in the hospital bed, broken and hurting. And he poured all of that out to this young chaplain. He was confessing his sins and regretting his mistakes. And so when he got through talking, the young chaplain didn't know what to say. He was at a loss for words. And the only thing he could come up with was he stood and he thanked Bill for sharing with him so honestly. And the only thing he could think about was to get out because he was so awkward. He said it was awkward being in that position of here's a pastor, an alcoholic who was broken. He didn't know what to say to him, so he wanted to get out. And as he was moving to reach for the door, he remembered what he reminded himself of when he went into the room. That I'm here to represent the presence of Christ. And so he went back to the side of Bill. And he took his hand and he said, Bill, I don't know what to say to you. I don't have anything to offer you, but what I do have, I give to you. And it's the presence of Christ. He said, therefore, the next little while they wept together. He was weeping with Bill over Bill's sin, but he was also weeping for his own sin. Because he saw what sin can do. And so there together they wept. See, he was representing the presence of Christ to that man who was broken. He was treating Bill the same way Jesus treats people, with love. And that's how he saw Bill, like Jesus would see him. See, Jesus forgives. And he restores dignity. Now that doesn't mean that he takes away consequences by any means. But he forgives out of his love and he restores dignity. Isn't that what he did to the Samaritan woman? He forgave her and he restored her dignity so that she could go back into her town and tell a testimony that people would believe and respond to. So Jesus restores dignity that the world takes away. And that's what he does to us. He loves us and he forgives us and he restores our dignity so that we can represent him in the presence of other people. Isn't that the purpose of the incarnation of Christ? That the Word became flesh so that he could be with flesh? And isn't that the purpose of the Holy Spirit coming into our lives? So that then we can be the presence of Christ to the people around us. And if we're not being the presence of Christ, then Christ is not seen. And no matter what we do as a church, if we're not doing it with Christ being seen through us, then we're doing it in vain. So as you leave this place this morning, would you go out and live your life with the right perspective? Number one, would you see Jesus as He is, Lord of all? And number two, would you see yourself as you are, a sinner, saved by grace? And then would you, number three, see the other people in light of number one and number two? We'll never see people unless we see Jesus and unless we see ourselves and what He has done for us to touch other people. Let's pray. Father, there may be people here today who have never believed a testimony about you. So I pray for them that they would listen to your word that is testimony. That they would come and see for themselves that you are everything that you say you are. And Lord, my prayer is that you would be seen in this church more than people see anything else about us. That without any doubt, they say, Jesus is in that place. And so, Lord, let it all be done for your glory and for your will. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.